Good morning. It is Monday, May the 11th. Joining us for a remote talk shop is Brian and Chris Hartley from the Humboldt County School District.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, sir. Happy Monday to you, and happy post Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, we have National Pizza Day coming up on Friday, so there's always something to look forward to.
Hey, thanks for putting that on my radar. That just picked up my spirits a little bit. Thank you.
All righty, Winston, why don't you hit us with our why do we say that?
All right, I'll let you choose. I've got a Latin word and a French word.
Let's stay away from France.
All right, Latin it is. It kind of gives it away then. Pagan. How did a pagan get that name?
Pagan. Oh,
Winston? See, Brian, don't you generally pick the words?
Yeah.
He's not in the studio. That means I get the holy grail of why do we say that.
Yeah, this is awesome. A new format here.
Pagan. It must mean something in Latin, is all I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
I'm non-God-fearing. How's that?
Well, you don't get credit for the Latin because I already said it's a Latin word. The Christian church made its first converts in the cities, its next in the villages, and its last in the country. Pagan is from the Latin pagus and literally means belonging to a village.
There you go.
Well, okay. At least
that went a different direction. That went a different direction than I thought. That's interesting. Thanks, Winston.
So how are things going during this period, Chris? I know last time we talked, or maybe it was two times back, we were talking about the concept that you guys were going to be delivering lunches and things were going to be a little bit different, coordinating things, et cetera, et cetera. How are all those extra areas of responsibility working out right now?
You know, Brian, I was thinking before the call this morning, the last time we spoke, I can't believe a month has already gone by. I felt like it was just a week or so ago that we were talking about our situation, and here we are. Those types of systems that you're mentioning, the food delivery processes for districts and schools, are really hitting on all cylinders. The districts and schools have done an amazing job getting meals out to students. And as we talked about before, that was one of the requirements that the governor put in place with his executive order to allow schools to do distance learning, was that we would continue providing meals and services. And it's been super impressive to see how these systems came into place so fast and quickly, and how they're being deployed on a daily and weekly basis. They're really doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, it's a different job too, which I think probably is adding to some of the initial excitement and the adrenaline, and then the perhaps frustration and fatigue as we move into these various phases of the programs being implemented.
Yeah, I think that's kind of we haven't gone through anything this substantial, obviously, and it's historic, right? And so you have that initial phase of crisis where you're problem solving and you're bringing your teams together. Like you said, it's kind of there's some excitement around that, lots of creativity and innovation. And then we've settled into this, like, is this our new normal? Is this, I hate to use that term, but we certainly don't want it to be. But that's where we're at right now, and everybody continues to do just a tremendous job. But we are starting to look at, what is our return to schools look like? And I know people are excited about those conversations. It's just a matter of what's practical and how are we going to do that with good planning and obviously looking at the data for how COVID is actually still impacting our community, right?
Yeah. It's obviously not to the same extent as it is in some areas of the country. And I suppose there's that frustration that then built in the equation then is also the fear. The economic and impacts that it's causing also. It just is kind of goofy. Are you guys looking add anything associated with the equipment of a summer school, or are you going to be recommending that just to your district?
Well, we'll do, like the Humboldt County Office of Ed, we will be running our summer school programs as part of our mandate to provide those services for students. And it'll be through the distance learning program that we're using right now. So it won't be much different than what we're currently doing, but we will be providing, you know, summer school support for the students that the county serves. It's possible that some districts will do that. Not every district in a normal summer, Brian, runs a summer school program. So it's not something that a lot of the districts normally do anyway. But I think it'll be an option if the state can provide some funding and support to do it. You know, it might be a possibility that some districts pick that up. But I think right now most of the attention is turned to what are the phases, what does it look like as for a fall start, like our traditional school year. Everybody's this time of year has pretty much adopted school calendars for next year, so we know those are all in place. And so it's a matter of outlining the protocols for a start in the fall.
Now, I don't remember the TV special about the school calendar and schedule being released quite like the NFL had last week. did I miss that one?
It might have the same level of popularity now. I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
When you reference summer school, Chris, it's not the summer school that we had when we were growing up. It's a more modified, limited option summer school, isn't it?
Yeah, well, typical, like if you're running a traditional summer school, it's like a half day typically, you know, like a 8 a.m. start and then like a noon release for lunch, and then that's pretty much the summer school program. I'm most familiar with high schools where you might be taking one course over the course of the summer, and most of the summer school we've run traditionally is for credit recovery or for a student who got a poor grade and they want to improve a grade, or maybe they didn't pass a class and they need to retake it in summer school. A little bit of summer school has been for advancement or taking an enrichment course. That's typically why we've even run summer school. Or for our case at the county office, we run summer school for our special education populations to continue to provide support for them during the summer. So it hasn't right. been, you know, a program that's been for everybody. You know, it's been an add-on or something to make to either make something up or to add to a schedule, but not as part of the traditional school year.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Chris, normally this time of the year, I know this time or early summer, you guys are doing an awful lot of staff training. Is this an opportunity for some of that, the ongoing training for staff, since the time in the classroom itself isn't quite the same? I mean, is this a chance for them to do some of that additional training now, rather than wait till summer?
Definitely. You know, schools have been doing a lot of extra training for their staff, not just teachers, Brian, but all staff members. So paraprofessionals that work in the classroom to support, you know, students kind of on an individual basis, to even maintenance and operations crews. You know, we are looking at all different avenues for staff development. So the answer is yes. I actually was part of an arts training program that HCOE put on. Stacy Young put that together, and it had people from all over the state of California doing a training that Humboldt County Office of Ed did last week. It was really neat.
Huh, what was it? You said arts, but what part of that curriculum?
Well, it's like from everything from music to fine arts to basically art instructors coming together. There were a variety of different presentations. Presentations focused on everything from using like art to help harness resiliency among students and teachers as a way of, you know, demonstrating, showcasing different communication styles and expression, all the way to, you know, the science behind art and the well-being of having an art incorporated into your lifestyle, to like really hands-on, you know, specific workshops around teaching art in different ways. But the theme of it, you know, was around art as being a form for creativity and innovation, and how you can use art during times like this for distance learning to enhance, you know, what classes the students are taking. It was really cool.
One of the things that I recall over the years is that a lot of times school is seen as safe haven, or is a safe haven for a percentage of the student body. Is there been any outreach to some of those students during this period of time just to kind of check in and see how they're doing?
You know, I've just about finished conversations with all 31 district superintendents in the county. Typically, this time of the year, I'm in the car and I'm heading out to their sites to visit and just to check in. So I've been doing it over the Zoom meeting. And one of the things that I've found to be a common response from our district leaders has been that teachers are providing their curriculum, but that part of their work is also making individual check-ins with their students. So individual calls to home, individual conversations to home, which is fantastic that they're able to do that. And that's harder to do when you think about it in a regular school day, when you have students coming in and coming out, to actually take time to be able to talk to them as an individual basis. They are doing that now. Obviously, it's not the same as seeing someone face-to-face, but I know they're working really hard to find out just how are you doing, you know, as a student. And then how can we help support you if you're struggling? But it's not, you know, it still leaves some gaps, Brian. But I've been pretty darn impressed by the efforts that I've heard about.
Maybe 15 years ago, there was a syndrome called latchkey kids. You know, the white hand and the poster in the window and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know what percent of our community is the double wage earner, you know, so there would be the latchkey kids, except they're not having to go to school now, they're just there. Are you guys seeing any shifts, any trends? Are kids spending more time? Are they wanting to do more research, having fun doing that kind of stuff? Or is it getting tougher and tougher to get them to engage with the virtual homework assignments?
That's a great question. I honestly don't have the background information on that to give a great answer. That'd be a great question for me to follow up with some educators to see if they're seeing a decrease in, you know, motivation or a lack of interest on it. I'm sure, I can guess though, that as we all are feeling a bit of this fatigue and operating in this way, that our students are feeling the same type of fatigue. And I would imagine that as this progresses, that yes, you know, levels of motivation and will kind of try to dip. And so that's an area for us to be, you know, paying attention to and to try to offer service and support to the families. You know, they're the unsung heroes here too. You know, mom and dad and guardians and grandmas and grandpas and whoever's taking care of these, our students, you know, they're having to do things that they haven't had to do in a traditional school year. So we're trying to give them some support as well, you know, and tips on how do you run a homeschooling situation at home when you've never had to create that kind of structure before. It's really a team effort. It's not the students doing it by themselves or the teachers. It's everybody working together. And that's the kind of support that we've been trying to provide, knowing the challenges that are involved.
Well, I would think some really basic, simple things, Chris. You know, if you've got little ones and it's the arts and crafts materials, well, okay, if you don't typically have that kind of stuff around the house, or if you don't have paper and pencil and, you know, some of those types of things, if you're going to actually have somebody, like, write a composition or a one-page paper on whatever it is, just even getting the supplies together might be seen as something that's a bit of a head-scratcher if you've not done that type of thing in the past.
Yeah, and so as the schools are doing their meal deliveries, often they're also doing supply deliveries along with that, right? So families can either come by and they're picking up packets of work or in materials like you're talking about, supply materials for arts or or whatever it is to enhance their work that they're doing. That has been part of the regular drop-off system that districts are doing for their students and families. I was talking to a superintendent the other day. They're like, yep, I get out, and we start, you know, we bring enrichment material that goes along with the meals, and like they can either do drop-off spots or pick-up spots, but that's part of what districts have been providing, Brian, to their families to make sure that they have something that they that can help, you know, add to the curriculum.
It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Market. Chris, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there with the universities now, you know, they're looking for their freshman class. Some of the seniors may or may not have been able to graduate. What are you hearing from those institutions in California, maybe even just the junior colleges as well as the 4 years, are they going to have a glut of students? Are they going to have plans in place so that the kids that are scheduled to graduate in a month or so here will have space in some of these campuses?
Well, that's a great question. So if you look at one of the things to think about is like junior colleges versus like your four-year college, let's just look at Humboldt State and CR. CR and the junior colleges typically serve your community, right? So most of their student body, as far as I'm aware, come from this area, where if you look at the CSUs, a lot of their students, the majority of their students come from out of the area. So two different type of populations that you're serving that I know the universities and the leadership at them are looking at for the fall. How does this impact their student enrollment? And you can only imagine that for Humboldt State, looking to bring students up, you know, would be very important to maintaining enrollment, because that's where most of their students come from. So I think, you know, related to COVID and all the different factors that we are all considering, to be honest with you, you could lump universities in with high schools, with elementary schools, all of education really has to be looking at the same factors for what does the return to school look like. And it's best for all of us if we're able to find some way to have, you know, physically delivered courses again or some sort of blended environment. But it really comes back to the cornerstone for all of this discussion, and that's student safety and community health. And what are the practices? What's the data show us? What's happening locally? And I think that's what you're going to start seeing more throughout the state is localized decisions based upon the reality of different regions, right?
So you think they'll go regionalized, or do you think they'll push it down to the individual school districts?
I hope it doesn't go down to the individual school districts, because that would be very difficult. But at least Humboldt County as a region, versus Sacramento or versus, you know, more urban areas, our reality here is different. And as we look at the data and what's happening with our actual situation, having the ability to make decisions that fit our needs would be great.
Oh, yeah, that would be dandy if that was adopted across the board in all disciplines rather than just the educational arena. I know that's been one of the big issues that the sheriff and a lot of others in the state and nationally have had, too, is that, you know, it's not one size fits all. We've got issues that are here that exist elsewhere and vice versa, just kind of like what you deal with a lot with the poverty and with some of those the higher levels for the special needs kids.
Yes, exactly. And so I was real excited to see as we're going into phase two and as we start to see businesses open up more, you know, how does that data play out and does it give us does it show indications that Humboldt State can look at starting to open its doors to more physical programs, as well as all of our schools, you know, all of our 31 districts. So we have a committee right now working on this. I've got several local superintendents working on this, looking at what are the criteria that we need to start planning for, everything from student entry and exit on campuses to how do we screen students' health upon entering campus, to the wear of masks, what does that practice look like, to social distancing, what does that look like? You know, you can imagine the categories and the areas to think about are numerous, right? But we're starting to have those discussions and try to come up with some plans, hoping that our local data will indicate that we could start having more more of our campuses open to education at our schools like we're used to.
When you mentioned graduation, and that's something I'm sure that's on the minds of a lot of parents, grandparents, and seniors. I've been hearing all kinds of different models throughout the country, everything from limiting it, doing it outdoor, and the kids are in the football field, and the parents are in the stands, and each kid only is limited to two. A lot of areas are doing the drive-by graduations, virtual graduations. Has there been much discussion yet about how that's going to be approached with the high schools in the area, or I guess any of the institutions that decide they want to have some sort of a ceremony?
Oh, absolutely. I know the districts are talking about it all the time. I personally haven't been involved in a lot of the conversations, a few here and there, but I know that that's a top of mind issue for eighth grade students, and then obviously seniors in high school, and those schools want to. The bottom line is they want to provide as real of a graduation experience as absolutely possible, given safety protocols that need to be in place. One of the big criteria on that will be how it looks here locally as far as group numbers of people that can be in a group at one time, right? So under the current shelter in place, I think it's max of 10 or something. I'm not exactly sure. But that'll be one of the key factors on determining what type of ceremony you can have. But currently I've heard all kinds of creative ideas to the old drive-in model where folks are in their cars, you know, and families are in their cars watching the students who are in a social distance situation. You know, all kinds of creative solutions are getting pushed around out there. But, I mean, everybody wants to celebrate graduation in as intimate way as possible. And the schools are working on it with public health and having conversations with public health around what can they do that provides the right safety and the right precautions for everybody.
A buddy of mine pointed out that this graduating class was born with 9/11, and now they're graduating with this Wuhan virus. We're going to have to keep our eyes on these kids.
They're tough. They're probably going to be pretty darn good. They are our tougher, our most resilient group, right?
That's right, that's right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
With Chris Hartley from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Chris, during this period of time, general rules of thumb, what should parents be doing, looking for? I know that they probably got a primer early on, but right now, what are some of the things that you would like them to be doing if they have a youngster either in the family at home, or if it might be grandma and grandpa that, you know, that they've got a grandchild and they just want to make sure everything's okay?
You know what, the first thing I would encourage is to use your school and your teachers and your administration as a resource. Don't hesitate to ask questions, not hesitate to ask for help. And I would really hope that all families don't isolate themselves from the structure of the system too much. I think it could be kind of human nature to do that, to kind of like, you know, sequester back and just say, okay, we're on our own. But I think this is a time where I'd really hope all families reach out and make their needs known, and don't give up if you're not getting what you need immediately. Keep pursuing, because what I do know on the educator side is that everybody's there helping 110%, and I just wouldn't want anybody's needs to go unrecognized so that they could get the support that they're looking for. And that support could be anything. It could be just, I just need to talk about how to structure some of this learning time with my child, because we're having some battles. I know we were talking to a parent last week, Brian, where they were frustrated, and we basically had to say, look, sometimes you just got to let go and not put, you know, give them a little break and create some comfort around the learning situation, and so that you're not locking horns all the time. And then the person felt like, well, that was very good advice, thank you, because they felt the pressure to keep the gun down and keep it going, when actually right. They just need to take a break, right? So do what you can do with your children. Ask for help. Make sure people know that if you need resources, that you need them, and so we can get them to you.
Yeah, I just was flashing, y'all, might be something interesting if you've got like an elementary school or a junior high age youngster, and if you're in a spot where you can do it, as a reward, buy them a book. You know,
absolutely.
A book of their choice. Whatever it is, because, you know, obviously then they're going to still be reading, and there'll be the opportunity for them to continue to at least maintain that skill set, you know, as long as it's not like a comic book or something like that. Put a parameter on it, but to do little rewards like that, you know, and it takes a different part of the brain to get that across, and I don't think a lot of us have used that part on a regular basis, so I can understand that frustration very well.
All right, yeah, for sure. Yep. Well, hey, it's great talking to you, Brian.
Keep hanging in there. Yet another fun week of whatever it is this last week was.
All right, sir. Take care, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Chris. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye-bye.